Psalm 21 in the New King James Bible, a psalm of David. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Jehovah, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. Selah. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence, for the king trusts in Jehovah, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Your right hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil upon you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Jehovah, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. In the last several psalms, we've been looking at Jesus in the role of king. Now, we know that Jesus stands in three offices for his people. He's the prophet, he's the priest, and he is the king. And in this last several psalms, we've been looking at him in the role of king. Psalm 18, the long one that we went through, we see how he ruled the earth, how the earth was created for him and by him. Psalm 19, we see how the law of God, the command of God, was about this great king and how he was put in place. Psalm 20, last week, you saw that the anointed one of God, the king, was the one who defended God's people. Last week, the Psalm 20 that you looked through, it was looking forward. The language in that was, may you, may he, will this. It was looking forward to promises, toward requests. This week, we look at the installation of the great king, of Jesus the Christ, made King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not looking forward to it, not in process, but here we see it done. And it starts with, the king shall have joy in your strength, O Jehovah, O Lord. Now, throughout this psalm, except for one place, you notice I substituted Jehovah for Lord, here where it's written in the all caps. A lot of these psalms, when they're talking about the role of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the covenant God versus just God or just Master, the language, as I've said before, makes more sense if you make the distinction that the original language is made. Here we see the king shall have great joy in your strength. The promise from the Father is that this king that's being put in place would have the very strength of God. Now, this should tell us first off that this isn't about David. And we'll see that further on. And in your salvation, in the salvation the Father, the covenant God, has provided, how greatly shall he rejoice? The king would rejoice in the salvation that God has provided. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. Now, if we look back through the last several psalms, we see cries to the Father to not leave me in the grave, to, you know, give the granting the desire of God's kingdom to go on and salvation for God's people. And here the Father says that those have been given. And then we have the Selah, which is often thought to mean stop and think about this. Moving on to the next section then, for you, meaning the Father, meet him with the blessing of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. And you see in Scripture many times where pure gold is used as an analogy for purity, for God's prerogatives as well. He asked life from you and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. Now, sometimes this is interpreted that the psalm's about David and it's looking to the future life in heaven and then after the resurrection. But in context with the other psalms and looking at what this psalm says all the way through, it's better seen that here we see the resurrected Jesus given life again forever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you've placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. And again, David cannot claim to be the most blessed, but that's one of the titles that Jesus takes upon himself. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence, for the king trusts in Jehovah, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Now, David had been moved. David failed in many things in his life. But again, the psalm is not about David. It's a psalm by David, of his descendant, but also his master, his Lord, his Redeemer. Moving on, we see the prophecy, in process, of Jesus as King of Kings taking dominion over the earth. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and fire shall devour them. Again, this isn't something that David's enemies suffered. There was no fire from heaven swallowing his enemies. But when we see the fires of hell taking the enemies of Jesus, we see that these things have come true and are coming true. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. And again, these are not things of David. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore, you will make them turn their back, and you will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Now, if we understand and we know our New Testament, that first part, they intended evil against you and devised a plot which they are not able to perform, we think, obviously, that this is when the people had Jesus crucified, when they would not have this man be made king over them. But against their wishes, not only was he king over Israel, but over all the earth. And this last part, therefore you'll make them turn their back, you'll make ready your arrows with your string toward their faces. And the book of Revelation teaches that when Jesus goes forth, when he went forth to conquer the nations, he took the great bow down from the wall of heaven. Be exalted, O Jehovah, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. And here we have the call for the people of God then to give glory and honor to the Father, to the covenant God who has made this happen. Our Messiah, our Redeemer, the Son of God, has come. He has fulfilled all that he set out to do and has redeemed his people. And now the earth is being brought under his dominion as much as people refuse to admit it. One thought I'll leave you with, when now a lot of you are saying, but the earth isn't becoming more godly, it's turning away from him. Remember who we're getting our news from. It's all filtered through the people who are the enemies of Christ. When we look at the truth of the matter, look across the world at the gospel efforts in what we call the third world countries, when we see the churches becoming, believe it or not, more reformed, more under the teaching of the Bible, God's kingdom is advancing. We need to have faith, and we need to do our part in revitalizing, reviving, and bringing forth the kingdom of God. And we are called to then sing praise, to give honor and glory to the Father and to his Son, the Messiah. And we'll do that by singing the first part of Psalm 21, praying for God to give power to his king, Psalm 21a.